Welcome to the Adam Fitch Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Fitch. Today I'm joined by NACSGO fanboy, Walmart shill, and just all-out walking meme-slash-amazing man, Ryan, of Rushby Media fame as such. I guess like little internet fame, NACS fame.
Oh, a little bit.
How's it going, man?
It's going well. I've got a nice, rainy, whatever, wintry mix over here in the Northeast, so I am huddled inside of my house and just trying to keep warm as I can.
Are you acting like you don't just sit in your house normally?
I don't. I try and not drive as much as I can whenever I do have to go outside. I try and walk a little bit.
Okay.
So, you know, that's how I do it. Besides from going here to the bad computer at my day job, and then I come back home to the good computer and spend hours on that. So that's usually
you, so you're saying tweeting about NACS is not your full time job?
Surprisingly, it does not pay the bills, does not pay my rent, doesn't even pay groceries. I don't even think it's fully paid the hosting fees yet. So,
oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, over two years of doing this whole thing, I think I have, through all of the different ventures that I do have and all the different kind of things, I think I've been able to pay for half of hosting fees.
Oh, Jesus. Wait, so you've been running Rushby for 2 years?
Yeah, I started the podcast late September, early October of 2017.
Right.
And so now it's been over 2 years at this point. So it's been a lot of ups and downs, which has been cool. A lot of like life lessons, a lot of things that like you can always learn from and always keep going with, especially for something I never expected to get to this point. So it's been kind of cool. I've been liking it.
Okay. I'm curious, like on a personal level, I always have been like, Why do you give a fuck about NACS? Because obviously, apart from E-League apart from recently, it's been good for NACS. Really, like what's been going on there?
So I mean, the big reason that I like NACS is the fact of like this is my region, right? Mm-hmm. What is it? So I was very big into soccer or football for you guys. And I had always been about the, you know, support your local team, support your local club, Do all that stuff. And so I became a fan of, always been a supporter of the New England Revolution, because that's the team that was closest to me when I was growing up. That was like whole Boston, whole thing. And then I got Liverpool team because I started supporting Liverpool because Liverpool. I'm a Liverpool fan. I know.
Jesus.
But I did it back in 2010. So that was when Hodgson was the manager. Okay. It was god awful, and I did it because the owners of the Boston Red Sox, the baseball team, purchased Liverpool, and that was kind of the only connection that I ever had. And so then I was like, okay, that's my Premier League team. So I've always been about supporting the locals, supporting the connection, and it's like I'm here. I'm in the region of NA. Like this is what we have to support. We have to keep it going. Like there's so many cool things about NACS and so much that goes on that people just don't know. And so it's always been exciting to be a part of it and kind of like root for the underdog for, you know, what it's worth.
Yeah. You say there's so many cool things. I can't think of any.
No, I mean, I think what I genuinely find pretty cool about NA is that there are actually a lot of teams and a lot of individual players that had so much skill and so much ability, but they never really get the chance to actually prove it themselves because there's no tier two land scene. There's no like ability for the players to connect with others on a personal level. They all had to deal it through the internet, which when you're 15, 16, 17, you don't understand like how to like actually talk to people, especially over the internet. Like it's very hard to, and especially if some little thing blows up because you're 15, 16, 17, 18, like you don't know how to handle it. And it always ends up bad. And so because of that, you can never meet them face to face and actually like try and reconcile things or actually improve relationships or do anything like that where you can do it in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And so like, I feel like there's been a lot of players that are actually really good and they just haven't been able to get that chance on the world stage yet. That's the really cool thing that I like about it.
Right. And obviously it's gotten a little bit better recently with the likes of Liquid and Evil Geniuses coming in and snagging NRG and then, winning instantly. I guess things have looked a little bit down since then, but as a whole, like it'll be quite decent for yourself, I imagine, having a couple of teams in the top like 3-4 teams.
It's been good. It's really helped with the content. It's really helped with going along with the meme. And I think it's also really beneficial to have these stronger NA teams, because then NA as a region gets more respected. Players can actually start to get a little bit more notice. A lot of EU teams can look at them and try and scrim against maybe tier one and a half, tier two NA teams when they come over here for events, and you know, really be able to see how those players are actually good. They're actually like, and I know I always say it's like, oh no, they're actually good, but it's like, they genuinely have the skill level. It's just that you don't get to see them as much on LAN. And that's I think, one of the biggest issues that NA as a region has.
Okay, I tend to think it's the people that inhabit it. That's the biggest issue, right? It's just a bunch of divs.
Well, I mean, but it is. But there's a different kind of cultural mentality, right?
Right.
It's like everyone in NA... You know, excuse my French, but you're coming out, you're trying to swing your dick around, you're trying to show that you're one of the best players, and the way that you do that is by trying to be cocky, act cocky, and do the things that you think are going to get you ahead. I think sometimes that mistranslation, it can also be the downfall, right? I mean, we even see it, like, players can have the persona that they do on Twitter, through other social medias, when they're on stream, and then fans think of them in certain ways, right? Like, what's one player? A lot of people think that Vanity is toxic.
Okay.
The former United IGL. A lot of people think that he is so incredibly toxic, but he's actually genuinely one of, like, he's very determined. He's very straightforward, but he's not, like, outwardly condescending or, you know, rude or a dick or has this ego that people think that he has.
Yeah.
It's just because of the way that he presents himself in the social media to people that, and people looking at it from the outside in, they'll take that entire concept of what they think he is.
Got you.
And just it, so that's my biggest thing, is that NA isn't actually full of dicks. It's just the personalities that people have on social media.
Fair enough.
Seriously.
No, that's
seriously.
Fine. Well, I mean, I can say one thing. So talking to people who are dicks, right? Obviously, it's not just NA. In fact, there's one in the UK. At the time of recording this, a few hours ago, for some reason, a guy who I don't follow... I can't think I've ever actually spoken to this guy privately. A guy called Tim Masters, he writes for Lookbox and Rivalry, I think. Decides to come out and try and come at me for having a podcast without actually listening to it, because there's no episodes available anywhere yet. So, I mean, he's a dick, right? He just spends his time, seemingly not writing, seemingly not trying to get money that way, but just tweeting into the absolute fucking ether, into the void, with nothing to say. Nobody, well, if he's got stuff to say, right, but nobody gives a fuck. The engagement rate there must be smaller than his actual dick. So, I mean, we've got dicks over our end as well. I mean, people would describe myself as a dick most of the time, I assume. But, I mean, like, my intentions are in the right place. And, I mean, he didn't come to me and ask why I decided to start a podcast, or, like, what's the reasoning for it. And, I mean, if he asked, I would say, right, in the business side of esports, there's not really somebody who gives a platform for people from different corners of the industry to come and speak about things, right? So that's really why I did it. But to him, I guess I'm just an egomaniac or something, you know, and I just love my own name and I want to see it on YouTube everywhere and stuff. When in fact, I've actually ran from attention and turned down a lot of opportunities because I actually hate attention. So yeah, we've got dicks over our side of the pond as well, mate, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. Sometimes I'm tweeting. I'm not trying to go one way or the other here. I'm trying to not be the foot. Listen, I think it's kind of funny that you did name your podcast after yourself. I know your reasons. You did tell me your reasons.
Yeah.
I did. Listen. I think it's a little funny. I mean, everyone else. I didn't do it after my own name. I created the whole thing. I was anonymous for a good bit. I don't know. I mean, dicks are everywhere. It's Twitter.
Yeah. It's irrelevant at the end of the day.
A lot of people, I think, take Twitter very seriously, and I think they shouldn't. Like,
well, do you not think like Twitter can yield some like good results if you take it seriously, though, right?
Well, it can. I mean, let's be fair. I got a Walmart deal, and I got flown out to London because of Twitter and the personality that I built for myself. Like, Twitter can yield a lot of good things, but it's just. None of it matters. Like,
or all of it does.
I don't know. Like,
it depends how you look at it.
Yes. It depends on how you look at it. But like, I've really just come to the realization that I'm not going to talk to 99% of the people on Twitter. The people that may interact with me, the people that may follow me, 99% of them, it's just not it's just not feasible. I can't talk to everyone.
Yeah.
Not everyone's opinion always matters to me. That's just how I have to handle it. Like, not everyone's opinion matters to me. And I have to be very, you know, cautious emotionally of trying to figure out who actually matters, what actually matters. And if people come and directly talk to me via Twitter or whatever social platform, that matters. People throwing out things into the Twitter sphere, saying whatever they want, doing whatever they want, doesn't totally matter. Like, I can, we all look at this, we all have a business part of it, but at the end of the day, if I really desperately needed to, I could step away from all of this, never have to interact with Twitter again, and I'd probably be fine. Like, in all seriousness, like, I'd probably be fine.
Yeah.
And even you, as Esports Insider, you have a track record of being a journalist, you could walk away from all of it and go find an actual publication wherever you are, near you, and you could go do that. And that's where I think that a lot of people see Twitter as being sometimes so much tied to their ego and so much tied to who they are. And I had that for a bit of time. I'm like going to totally admit I was so important. I did all this. And literally, there are so many accounts that have X number of followers, Y number of followers. Like, I just am not even there. I just don't matter as much. And I, like, realizing all of this was very good, just innately as knowing who I was, to be able to say, this is okay. The one random dude that throws an insult at me, I don't care. Like, I just can't care. I can't give enough of myself. If I had to care about every single person that thought I was a dick or thought I was someone called me a culture vulture.
You got called that?
I got called a culture vulture.
For what?
I got called a culture vulture. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I just don't need to interact. So just block and move on. And people are like, oh, don't block. Keep the follower and keep the... No. Why? Why do I want that?
Yeah.
I don't need the... Like, the followers don't... Like the one follower is not going to make or break my life.
No.
Just block, move on, let's go. Not even have the negativity. Let's just not even do the thing. Like, during a stream, the Mustache Master stream that we did, that donated over 10 grand for the Movember Foundation.
Well done on that.
Someone donated $10 and their thing was, Ryan is a cunt. That was the name that they put in.
Okay.
Cool. Found the person who did it, block, move on. Just, I don't need it.
You blocked my fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what? If I call you a cunt, all right, you're a cunt. Are you going to block me now?
I'm not going to do that, one, because we already have a personal relationship. But if I'm doing a charity stream, donating money, and you're going to go out of your way to do that,
it's a bit unreasonable.
I spent months to do it. That entire event meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
I don't need your negativity in my life.
That's fair. Okay. No, that's fair enough. It is a tad unreasonable doing that, right? I mean, you got the money, which is the more important thing in that.
I think I told the other guys that we were doing, I was like, can we just refund it? Like, I just don't want the money. I just don't care. I don't want that. Okay. I don't need the negativity.
Okay, well,
that's so
talking about, you say it's their Mustache Masters, it was called.
Yeah.
Right, you got up to some fucking weird shit, I will say. But I mean, it all paid off, obviously. It's a very good cause and such, right? So, did you not have a blue mustache at some point?
Yeah, so...
Where's that gone?
Yeah, I had to shave it.
No.
I had to shave it. It was bad. It was gross. It was not fun.
Well, I mean, for a bit of context, it's the 1st of December today, as of recording this.
Yes.
So, yes. I guess it went yesterday night.
It was allowed. Yes, it did. I went home, saw my mother for Thanksgiving, her great American holiday, where we just eat lots of food on a Thursday in November.
Right.
And she saw it, was absolutely mortified, and especially because it was blue.
Yeah.
And she said, I need you to shave this off. And I said, I will do it Saturday night. And then that's what I did. There it is, Mom. It's all off. And she's like, thank you. You look normal now.
So what was the context behind dyeing it blue?
That was one of the stretch goals that we had for the Mustache Masters. Cause we had goals all the way from every 500 to 10,000. I think we even had 25,000. I would have had to get a C9 tattoo.
You'd probably do that anyway.
I would not. My mother would probably kill me if I ended up with a tattoo.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. She hates them. She hates tattoos so much, but I was like, if I got $25,000, I feel like that's enough. just do it right on my butt, on probably on a butt cheek.
Oh fuck. As you do. Reasonably.
So that I think that was $3,500. We had to shave our mustaches blue. So it was me and four of the guys that were all doing it. It was me, Darth Mike, Pluro, his name's Chris, and then Griffin.
Okay, what stuff did you specifically get up to during it, so as part of these goals?
So at 2000, I had to wax my legs.
I've done that before. It's not the most pleasant thing.
That was hilarious. So that was really fun. At 5000, I had to go into a full clown costume with clown makeup, which all those pictures have been so saved by everyone, and it's been hilarious. And you know, because just the whole thing of like Ryan, you know, clown, NACS, do whatever. Yeah. Finally decided, I was like, we have to embrace the meme. We have to just do it.
Without doubt.
Like, this is like, it's funny. It's honestly funny. And I'm glad that like it's kind of come full circle a little bit. And then what else did I do? I think those are the two big things, was I did the clown thing at 5K. And then we had prizes like the winners, the second place rap gang of the tournament. They're gonna listen in or come on the next podcast that I do. Okay. So I've got to reach out to them when I eventually get my act together, because it's been an incredibly busy month for me in doing this tournament, in doing real life work, and into Rushby stuff. So yeah.
No, fair play. No, congratulations to yourselves and stuff, because I mean we did a Movember at ESI last year. For some reason, we didn't do it this year. I think I'm going to make it a thing where I myself personally do it each year.
There you go.
Because it's obviously just stupidly important. But so with yourself owning and running Rush B and myself being the editor of Esports Insider, we've got quite unique positions, like being towards the top of a publication, right? So it's something I want to discuss a little bit.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And I think we already disagree on it, but I'm excited to then talk about it.
I think this is something else, actually, but hopefully we can get into the disagreement after. I tweeted out recently about GG Intel, which has not been launched at the time of this being recorded, but the time it goes out, it will indeed be launched. So we can actually do a bit of predictions as to how it goes, maybe. But for a bit of context, people listening, it's a new publication that is currently trying to sign people ahead of its Monday release date, right? It's supposed to be launching with a big exclusive piece, and they're sending contracts around as we speak. And basically, the first versions of these contracts forced people into having to share things on social media that they perhaps didn't want to. Like, you should be free to do as you wish there.
It's the ESPN kind of thing, the Disney ESPN thing, when all the ESPN insiders had to start tweeting out about Disney Plus, which I found to be utterly hilarious.
I think it comes across and looks a tiny bit dodgy when that stuff happens, right? But then it shows what's what. If it's part of the job, it's part of the job. So say your piece, they don't have an editor, right? We'll put that out there. I submit a piece, I work for them, and they say, right, you need to edit this because there's some changes we believe need making. And these are people with no editorial experience at all telling me this stuff. You have 24 hours to make these changes and get it back to us. And it's like, whoa, okay then. Say if you send that on a Saturday and I'm out with my family having a break from a busy week and I don't get that back, are you going to penalise me? Like, and there's just so many things that I didn't get into. I kind of exposed them a little bit on Twitter, and then that they came to me and asked me to remove it and said, look, we've got good intentions, blah, 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 blah. Can you remove your tweet? So I doubled down, obviously, as I do, and say, no, never never tell me to delete a tweet because it's my account. Like, you can do what you want to your writers depending on what you put in your contract, but not to fucking me, right? But so, long story short, I ended up having a call with one of the guys behind it, and they've already amended the contracts. That evening, they amended the contract, sent them out with a lot of the points that I thought were dodgy addressed. And obviously, I'm not like the gatekeeper of like, well, this is good, this is bad. But I just told them the things that were untoward or uncommon in esports, right? So, yeah, and their plan is, I probably shouldn't say too much, but they want to cover absolutely everything. They want to do absolutely everything, which seems to be the case of like every new publication that launches, right? But then in the past 12 months, we've seen like the fall of Cybersport, we've seen the fall of Upcomer. And it's,
yeah, I've never died. VP Esports didn't.
It's still around.
Is it?
It's a little bit dead, but it's still around. Like, there's still content going out quite often. Like, as a manager, there's Stephen Cropley, nice guy. Like, it's just, it's not making the same kind of waves it once was, and obviously that's part of the effect of not having a Richard and Thorin there, you know? So, it's just got kind of smaller people there. It's ticking. I assume it's doing decent enough numbers. But yeah, so basically, a publication is coming in, like, approaching writers, but it doesn't have anybody with esports or editorial experience. And these people are expecting to come in and fucking take over. Like, it's just a bit strange to me, honestly.
Know your place. Know yes. what you're going to do. Lower expectation. I don't know. I, like, when I started my site, I was just like, I know my place. I'm at the bottom. Like, I ain't shit. Like, I was not about to come in and be like, I'm changing the way that Counter-Strike media is going to be. My idea was, like, we're going to be a blog site. We're going to have people that I kind of know, and maybe they write well, and we'll see what pieces they can do, and we'll try and do the best that we can. But, yeah. like, I was never gonna front and be like, oh no, we're super professional. No, like, we're gonna make, like, errors, typos, you know, the mistakes that we make are gonna be the mistakes that we make and learn along the way. I hope GG Intel's great. I hope
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
I hope it's awesome. Like let's not get anything wrong. I hope that we can have the most amazing publications ever coming into the space. Seriously. Like, why not? Like, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. If you can come in, and if this guy is such a altruistic investor, and he wants to create a site that is going to be fully funded, and he's going to put a lot behind it, and he understands that it takes a long time to make these things profitable, then hell yeah, let's go. I love that.
Yeah, I had a chat yesterday, right, and I don't want to go into specifics because it's their details, obviously, but they know that profitability is way, way, way down the road. Also, they told me that, you know, I mean, it's hard to know exactly what's what, but and they kind of said all the right things. But yeah, they changed the contracts. Like, they understand that they need to bring people in who, well, I mean, you think it'd be obvious by now, but, like, bring people in who know what the fuck they're doing. Because how are you going to pick good writers if you don't know the scene and know who's what? You're not going to go through and read all of their work. And how would you find out which ones have done untoward things behind the scenes or have done stuff in the past that means they're not getting hired elsewhere? You know what I mean? And so, I think, well, obviously, both of us want esports to be as great as it can be. And that involves the whole journalism and editorial scene, right? So, of course, like, I wasn't coming out of it. I wasn't, like, coming out against them in a place of, like, get the fuck away from my scene or any of that shit. It was more like, hold them accountable. Let other writers know what's what. So if other people didn't read the contract and then just signed it, got themselves into a dodgy situation, it's not good. So, like I did with the Upcomer thing when I tweeted that out and started some fuck-off thing there.
The whole ending of that was just such a sight to see at the end of the day. Just such a sight to see.
One day I'll discuss that stuff.
I mean, it just was like, well, there was the one person that went overseas, was told everything was paid for, and then they were like, psych? And
bye-bye.
It's just like... They told one person, you can come full... Was it the same person that was like, you can do this full time? And then, like, 2 weeks later, they were like, we're out of money!
See you later. Yeah. Sorry! Yeah. And the thing is, they'd done a $2.1 or $2 million raise not long before that, you know, as well. It's interesting. But so, yeah, it's just coming from a place of, like, we want things to succeed, because if there's a good publication that comes out and forces other ones to be better, then the whole fucking landscape gets better. And we keep moving this thing forward. And it's just, I don't know why. I had some people message me privately saying, why didn't you just speak to them privately about it? And I'm like, public pressure does a fucking lot.
Yeah.
And they made the changes straight away, right? So I think it's a good thing. Obviously, it seems decent, right? Obviously, they've come in and not at the best start. But the fact that they've been quite flexible and willing to make things work and to fit in with the norms of the industry as such is like a positive thing, right?
You know, it's interesting that point about public pressure, because I tend to not think before I tweet. I just kind of do it. And I think, what is it? So there's a tournament that's happening in about 2 weeks in Philadelphia called Fragadelphia, and it's one of NA's, like, biggest LANs. And it's always great because all the teams that you don't get to see ever on LAN come there. And sometimes they'll be in their actual team. Sometimes it'll be mixed teams. But basically, it's like a giant reunion of all the people either in like at the lower end of the pro scene or in like the semi-pro scene that just really come together. And it's like a fun like weekend event that's competitive and it has like such a perfect old school LAN vibe.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. However, this year we have the MDL Global Challenge, which takes the top MDL teams and players away from it. Like they just can't do it because they're already obligated to go to the MDL thing. And if you pull out of that, then it's like you can't, I think there's like actual ramifications right. in terms of you might not get promoted. You might get actually banned from MDL or something. I don't know that for sure. I just know that there's like repercussions. And then IEM Katowice qualifiers in NA, they started the same weekend. So we've had Chaos, Singularity, two of NA's like top teams yeah. pull out as well.
Yeah.
And I made some tweets that were just like, can we get our shit together? Like, can we just fucking get our shit together and like protect these days and these weekends, which are events and lands, which are important because we don't get that many. I had an ESL person DM me almost like 30 minutes later and be like, dude, you're killing us. We tried. We tried everything we could. And I was like, you didn't try hard enough. Clearly,
okay, obviously.
The dates are still there. Yeah. But they're like, listen, we hear you. We understand it. And when you make these tweets, a lot of people listen. And I was like, oh, like, good. I'm glad they do. Now, like, do something. Like, I was like,
well, why don't they respond to your tweet instead of DMing and just say, look, we tried. It didn't work out. We apologize, but we're doing what we can. Like, that's so much better than hiding behind DMs.
I wish they could. I wish they could. But also sometimes it works as the two-way street, right? They don't want to look like they're coming at me. And it also is like, we don't want to make you look bad in like either sense. If they just go with a standalone tweet and it's like, there's been some concerns regarding these dates. These are the reasons why. This is a statement. Short little thing. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'd be like overjoyed over the moon. Like yeah. that would be amazing. But I don't know. It's just like sometimes I feel like there's a lack of communication
exactly.
where – because like on that weekend there's like 8 tournaments that like I should cover and I can't because I'm going to be at Frag. I'm going to be there and I'm going to do the thing that is probably one of the most important NA lands.
Okay.
Like and it's not like, and I say NA land is like open land. Like people want to get specific and be like, well, what about ESL New York? What about Chicago? No, this is like anyone can do it. This is the most important one
yeah.
in my mind for us. But yeah, so it's just, there's just scheduling and we need more people to put pressure on, so
yeah well it's so strange though, like that it's I think it's almost a good thing that there's this overlap because there's so many different things going on. I feel like that's somewhat a sign of a healthy scene, right? When there's like shit tons of things happening and it's just impossible to avoid some overlap.
But it's not so much of a healthy scene because everyone's cannibalizing each other.
Oh yeah, no, I don't mean right? I don't think in general it's like, a healthy scene. I just think but that's like, a symptom of one, or like a feature of one.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you talked about PUBG and how like their tournaments are not going on and things are not happening and the future looks bleak.
Yeah, yep.
For us, I think the problem is that there are too many.
Right.
You've had Astralis, probably best team in the world. They're like, we can't play in all these events. Like, we got lives. We have things to do. Like, gone are the days of needing to play in every event in order to be the best in the world to continuously improve it. Like, I personally don't really give a fuck anymore about the number one world ranking. There are like 4 or 5 teams at the top that can beat each other at any given day. And I don't need to see them fly all the way to China to do a 16 team tournament,
yeah.
get first, and then in 3 days fly all the way to Dallas to go then do another tournament and then have to go all the way over to like Germany. Like I don't need that. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need it. The prize pools, we don't need the prize pools anymore. Who really gets the prize pools? The players. Organizations aren't taking prize pools for the top tier teams. They're getting healthy salaries, very healthy salaries, like above 20K a month. Like these pro players at the top, they're getting healthy like lives and income.
Yeah.
So what's the point? There's really not. The health and stability of players will extend careers and prevent the burnout. And I see all these tournaments and I'm just like, we don't need this.
Oh,
we
no,
just
no.
really don't
I,
need
I so think, I think in like the next 10, 15 years, maybe even a little sooner, we'll see a whole lot of people coming out and saying, look, my mental health was absolutely fucking deteriorated by then. And also, like, my wrists are fucked, like, my back's fucked because we're sitting on these shitty gaming chairs instead of actual good chairs. Like, there's going to be a whole string of concerns based on what we're doing now that we could have done a lot better that will have, like, long-term effects down the line. And obviously, that's one of them. Like, you know, it's cool, like, travelling and, like, your parents are like, oh my God, you get to go on holidays all the time. It's like, no, I'm actually, I go compete or whatever, and then I'm back, and then I go to the next place. You know what I mean? It's yeah. And doing that all year round, besides like a player break, which
the player break isn't respected. Mm-hmm. It's not respected. There are online qualifiers for events during the player break. Yeah. There are, and I don't want to get like too far socialist and too far leftist here, but like teams that play in the player break should not be acknowledged. Like players that kind of violate that player break should be like, you should be scorned. You should be scorned. Stick with the player break. Stick with the union. Because if you go ahead and you say, well, I really want to do the ESL New York qualifier, but it's during the player break, it's like, no, don't do it. Like everyone said, we want to do this player break because we need breaks. We need rest. We need to stop going to events every weekend. If you play, then why are organizers going to follow the player break and what you guys decide? They'll just do it because they know that you'll play. So stop. You're enabling. Yeah.
Okay.
That, I mean, there's a certain responsibility from the players, but there's also a certain responsibility from the organizers. Organizers will always try to abuse and always try to go ahead and do what's going to be the most profitable for them. You can't blame them from a very capitalist business perspective because that is what they are designed to do. A lot of TOs are losing money and they need to do this to be profitable and try and get what they can. I don't blame them for that, pursuing the money that they can. I do put the blame on the players for saying, if we've agreed that this is the player break, and if we've all agreed that this is a player break, and if I want to be part of this union, I want to be part of this collective, then I have to recognize that this is the player break. And then if you say, well, I don't know about that, I need to play in this thing because it's my only ability to go to there, then I get it, but also you're still hurting the union. So don't expect then the union to look at you, someone who's violated what everyone wants in the union, to then support you wholeheartedly when they know that you haven't done anything for the collective. That's my problem is it's like, if we want to be a collective, you have to act as a collective. And I'm so in support of the union and I need them to be in order to fix these things because they have the power. They're the ones that will change it all. I won't fucking tune into a tournament if you're telling me I don't have the top teams in the world. I just won't. So they're the ones that hold it. And that's what I think a lot of people and a lot of players and a lot of the industry need to realize is that's where it is.
How do you think how impactful do you think the player association's been since it's come in? Do you reckon it's been a purely positive force?
There have been a lot of positive changes for it, like for the scene as a whole.
Yeah.
The biggest changes have been tier 2, tier 3. I won't say the team, but so what I'll do sometimes is that when I know that, when moves have happened, when players have happened, when things have gone on, I will always just follow up with the player after the move has happened and just be like, hey, do you want to send me your contract? Do you want me to look at anything? Because I've been able to see some other contracts. And I've been able to kind of, we can see what's going on. Yeah. And I can see if I think anything seems out of line, I can recommend you to a lawyer who can then look it over and then tell you a decision of, hey, I can restructure this contract. We can work it out with the organization. Here's the fee. Or if you don't want that, the Players Association has lawyers available for you at a much lower cost or whatever.
Yep.
And that's what I've been able to do is go ahead and try and put that connection when it's like when moves have happened or moves are already done or when they've already been like publicly reported and go ahead and do that. And so like I recently did that with a team and I followed up with the lawyer and I was just like, hey, how did it work? And he was like, this contract fucking sucked. Just was awful. I can't he's like, if I had to redo this contract, it would be XYZ amount.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I had to go send them to the organization lawyers, the player association lawyers. And then that's what they did. And they've restructured the contracts and they're going out to be fixed and signed and all that stuff.
Good.
And it's like, that's the good way that the Players Association has also worked. And also then for tournaments of when they've been like, hey, let's not use these player models. let's revert back to these changes. Let's try and do this. Let's make this maybe a little bit more fair. Yeah. This is how we think, you know, a lot more conversation is happening with a lot more people, and a lot more people are finally listening, which I think is really good.
Of course. Well, I mean, on the topic of like contracts and stuff, I don't know why players aren't represented. I don't know why they seem to skimp out on that. They're earning quite well, a lot of them, and then they skimp out on having agents and/or lawyers. It never made sense to me. And that happens across basically every game, across all levels of it. Like I've got a couple of player contracts sat on my desktop right now, which one I'll hopefully write about soon, but it's fucking ludicrous. And if you had somebody involved at earlier stages, like, it'll be cushy. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
I know of one player's salary when he was benched got cut 99%.
I know one who was cut 100%, but yeah, okay.
it's insane.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
And I'm telling you, like, tier one orgs, like, this is just, I don't get it. And I think the thing for me is I come from traditional sports. I did sports economics in college and undergrad.
Okay.
I studied and did at a very serious level for NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, MLS, all of that stuff. And so every single one of the players, like, it's actually, they're required to have an agent until they reach a certain time period when they no longer have to have one. Mm-hmm. And then there are rules about who your agents can be in order to protect them. None of those things exist in this space. And the people that it would most benefit are the players. People that it would most hurt are who? The organizations.
Yes, sir.
Because they cannot not take advantage of the players and try and get more and more profit out of what they're doing. And again, we can blame them for maybe being morally a little bit corrupt in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they're just trying to make as much money as they possibly can.
Yeah. Well, we saw that with like Cloud9 and LCS recently, right? I think it was found that only two of them had lawyers and had all been given like equity or sort of some, I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Like equity in the companies and stuff. And now there's like a 600K fine. Oh, I expect it to be around 600K fine coming.
That's so nothing. That's such a nothing fine though.
But it's still a warning shot, right? And it shows other organizations that may not have the 50 mil raises that Cloud9 can do. That
okay,
there's a bit of something there, right?
What have they done with the 50 mil? Because I haven't been able to see.
I think as a...
Has the training center been built? Because they said they were going to do that.
I think that's in... Oh, I don't know if it's been launched. You'd normally see that kind of thing, so I'd say it's in the works.
That's what I was like. When they rose that 50 million, the breakdown that I saw was Overwatch, LCS.
Yep.
Then they were going to do a training center in Santa Monica, which if you're going to buy an industrial... If you're going to buy Reno and do an entire training center of like 20,000 square feet, you're looking at like 20-25 mil to do the whole thing.
Right.
So like that was normal. And then the Overwatch fees and the League of Legends fees made sense. Mm-hmm. So then they didn't really have a whole lot of money left over for it. It just kind of was like, we rose 50 million to pay the lights. But where's that training center? Because I haven't heard like one peep, unless I'm missing something here.
Yeah, I may have missed it. Because I mean, I there's too many things going on. Like that I have to cover for Esports Insider. So sometimes it is easy to miss it. But yeah, you think they'd make a big hurrah about like Vitality recently have done a huge push. They actually launched a collaborative effort with Adidas to go along with the center.
Wait, how do you say it?
What's that?
How do you say the shoe company? The apparel company?
Sorry?
That you just said?
Adidas.
Apparel company.
Adidas.
Adidas?
Yes, of course.
Adidas.
No, man. No, that literally sounds like you're swearing at me.
Adidas.
No, Adidas, right?
Yes. Adidas. No, it's Adidas. You're so wrong.
Well, we'll never agree on this, and we can speak about this afterwards, but I'm right. I also say Nike, and you'll say Nike, I'm sure.
Yes.
It's Nike.
Nike. No. Nike was the god.
I don't give a fuck. It's Nike. I grew up with it being Nike, so it's Nike. You know what I mean? Like, simple as.
Oh, my God. Oh.
But, yeah, you 100 Thieves, 100 Thieves are creating content around them putting together their fucking facility and stuff, right? So
right.
You'd like to think we'd see some stuff from Cloud9. So it must be in the works. And, I mean, Gen.G have launching their stuff, and it's TSM headquarters, and so
Gen.G's really making a push in a lot of certain areas.
Well, I've been seeing some key people wearing Gen.G related apparel recently, right?
Yeah, I don't.
Some fucking shills. Is that like payment to keep them quiet? By any chance? And nobody's fucking saying anything about that. Because everyone's fucking scared of everything all the time.
Yes.
Have you got yourself some Gen G stuff?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, they sent me one.
Well, Gen G, send me mine or else I'm going to say something not very nice. I don't know what yet, but I'll figure something out.
No, all
that a dad hat will do.
Yeah, I mean, now at this point, it's totally open. They had Norse, who is another like CSGO personality. Mm-hmm. They collaborated with him to officially announce. Like, I'm not a joke. That was their official announcement of their CSGO.
Wait, they wanted him. It's been officially announced through that? What, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Norse posted a picture of him wearing Gen G merchandise.
Right.
And he said, welcome into CSGO, Gen G.
Okay, so this is for the NA Franchise League, right?
That's
why 100 Thieves got in as well, right? That's why
everyone's in. Everyone's in.
For that reason, right?
It's gonna be super interesting. I'm super excited to figure out how it's gonna work with apparently the two other rumored franchise leagues.
There's two other ones rumored as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's like this one that's supposed to be for like, I don't know, I've heard like 6 weeks. And it's supposed to have, and like the team list is literally like, it's all the top ones. And then I think they're Dignitas had to do it. Misfits apparently is also in it.
I've heard a little bit. And then
I think there's another org that doesn't have a team yet that is supposed to be in it. But it's like, it's funny. It's great. I love it. It's amazing. But yeah, that was their official announcement. They sent some merch to me because they were like, you're also really into CSGO, and I was like, yeah, but I'm not gonna like I'm not gonna go crazy and start posting all about this right now because like this feels weird. Like, I know the rumors. We know the rumors.
Mm-hmm.
They're signing the core of C9 basically.
Yeah,
I don't think Kusta has like officially been rumored or whatever, but like that's the current play is that it's Daps automatic Kusta. Right. And then they also said it was going to be ships, but as far as I've seen, like ships is kind of like who knows.
Okay.
He's an EU player that would come through, and then yeah, like that's what it is. Like, and then that's how they want to announce it. That's how they want to do it up big. Is this? And I guess cool. Okay. And when they announce, I'll post a picture. And I'll be like, oh, thanks, Gen G, for the merch. Welcome and let's go. You know, whatever.
That's a weird way of doing things.
Always be selling. Always be selling. That is my shill. That is my shill life here. Okay? I mean, nothing off this.
Okay, so when I launch the Bayard and Fitch dad hats, if I send you one, you'll do 100%. A bit of
it. 100%. Okay. I'll be on stream.
Well, 100%. You don't know what will be on the hat yet.
That's fine. Always be selling.
I was thinking just across the front, it'll say like, Rush B is shit or something like that.
Fine.
And you'd wear that.
You pay me enough. Let's go.
Paying you in a hat. That's enough, right?
Yeah, all right. Don't block me on Twitter. I'll be fine.
Bloody hell. So talking about obviously the CSGO scene is quite open. People are trying to close it off a little bit in their own way, right? Just very quickly, right? PUBG, right? It's the first year now. It's basically over the first year in which PUBG Corp has taken over, partnered with like third-party organizers to run 6 leagues, 3 additional competitive regions, and then 2 international events and then a global event, right? And the viewership has gone down and down and down despite all of the money and all of the efforts being put in for the first time. Like,
money,
what the
money
fuck?
Money doesn't buy it.
Yes.
Money doesn't buy it.
It's real poor communication there.
The only thing that money has, the only time that we can actually see that money has bought and created an artificial league has been Overwatch. Correct? It's the only time.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty with the franchise, like, that's fine. There was already a Call of Duty community that's been there for years.
Yeah, that's still going to fail, right?
With Counter-Strike, it's been a 20-year open league before anyone officially came in and said, we're doing all these things, this is how it's going to be, blah, 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 blah. Right? Dota had a thing. They had independent things and everything going on. And then that was, like, international. Boom. And there's still a whole circuit that goes on.
Yeah,
you can't.
It's pretty shit, but yeah.
You can't buy people's interest in something if they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You see baseball viewership in the United States is falling. You're seeing football viewership because people are concerned about the health effects. You're seeing soccer viewership and soccer attendance going up.
Football.
Because you're seeing more people being interested in the game and wanting to be it, and it's cheaper and it's more accessible. You're seeing NBA, again, because it's more accessible. People are interested. They have personalities. A lot of it is marketing. A lot of it is people's innate evolution of interest as it goes on. And you have to be able to respond to it. Pumping a shit ton of money into something when you don't see the actual revenue drive. The problem is everyone's assuming if you build it, they will come. That is not what happens in esports.
No, not at all.
In traditional sports, it's different. You build a new stadium, they will come because it is there is so much evidence, economic evidence that proves that newer stadiums drive more traffic. You can see that evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's based off of a sport that will always retain a very high level of popularity. Its base is up here. And then its peak is a little bit above.
Yeah.
It doesn't fluctuate that much. But in esports, where you can have a game that is super popular 1 minute, die the next. Do you remember Artifact?
Briefly, yeah. It's been about a year now since it came out, probably, yeah. Right?
17 people have played in the last 30 minutes. No one's playing. No one is playing.
Yeah.
And everyone was super excited. What's the
Teamfight Tactics? Yeah, that's out.
Wasn't that super cool? All of a sudden people were like, oh, what if we made this an esport? And is it that much more popular now among the common interest of people?
No. Well, a tournament was just announced for that, actually. But I mean, it's still no one cares.
Great, but we'll see how big it is. But You need to have 3 to 4 years of consistent and growing interest in the actual esport of a game before you can say okay, yeah, maybe this is actually going somewhere. And then you still have to be very cautious. Everyone wants to buy in because they think the hype is now. They think this is it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make so much money. It's going to be great. You're going to fucking lose every single time when you do that. Every single time. And the hype and the building and the industry is there, but you need to actually look at it like every other freaking business out there. Or this is going to be a dot-com bubble for you, and you are going to end up broke. That is that's the problem here, is that no one wants to take 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
evaluate the actual situation, the actual business. And they might be doing so much more worse to these industries, to these games, to these scenes, than they think that they're actually helping it or growing. Or whatever.
Yeah. Well, everyone's kind of looking forward 5, 10 years, right? Whenever you speak to anybody about esports, it's like, oh, in 10 years it'll be huge. Like you get all your money back in 10 years, and it's like, what are you gonna do until then? And how much money are you gonna spend until you get to that point? It's
2014. You want to evaluate the Counter-Strike scene in 2014 and compare it to now? You're fucking high. It's an entirely different scene. Entirely different scene. It's just 2014. You had people that were not getting paid. At the very top level.
Yeah.
And in 2019, you're seeing people getting paid way too much more than they're actually worth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what, Complexity are paying their players $35,000 a month? Just fucking hell. Are you actually kidding me?
Building a juggernaut, bro.
But it's just, you're paying them almost $500,000 a year. You're putting $2.5 million into these salaries for Counter-Strike.
To be a top 10 team at best.
I don't get it. Can't get it.
No.
I just unplugged my headphones. It's weird. I hope this doesn't mess anything up. But so overly excited to about all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one more thing, we'll call it a day, right? So it's related.
I like that.
Are we in a bubble? In your humble opinion, I'd say you're more well informed than a lot of people who discuss this thing, right?
Yeah. I mean. I think
go on, stand on a ledge, mate. Stand out on that ledge.
I so firmly believe that we're in a bubble, and I don't want to say it as being negative, right? Let's be very clear about this. I'm not negative about the future of esports.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of good. I think that there is a lot of excitement that can happen. I think that there is a good road for the ways that we see popularity increasing. We see more people tuning into Twitch. We see more people wanting to be a part of it in any way that they can. There's so much more accessibility with computer prices going down. You're seeing more people building computers than ever before. The amount of money that is coming in, the private equity investors that are trying to get their money, it's absurd. The salaries are out of control. Organizations are barely churning profits at the vast level, right?
Yep.
You can look at 10 organizations, maybe, that are making money. But it's insane. You're seeing organizations being valued at a multiplier of like 14. No.
Yep.
Tech companies at their highest in Silicon Valley maybe get 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And that is because there is a proven track record of those companies reaching those valuations. You don't have that track record with these esports companies reaching that level of valuation because it's too damn early. It's so early.
Wait, so you're telling me the Forbes list wasn't entirely accurate? I've got it on good authority, though, that a few organizations, at least a few organizations, actually supplied those numbers themselves to Forbes. They're blowing smoke up their own asses.
I imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why they wouldn't. It's great publicity for Cloud9 to be known as the richest as the most valuable organization in sports.
Mm.
It's great to see TSM up there. It's great to see 100 Thieves making its way up there, even though that they missed out on every print. They missed out on Call of Duty franchise, but they had an LCS spot. Like, it's LCS, it's like, yeah. My own work experience has, and I'm not trying to give investment advice, and I don't want to give investment advice at all, and I'm giving this good disclaimer, but my own personal experience, in from what I've seen in certain industries and what I've seen overall in the way that markets develop and the way that industries develop, is that it is so early, and the amount of hype and the amount of energy and investment being put into it right now with investors that I do not believe are in it for the long haul, mm-hmm. blows my mind.
Yep.
The amount of the investments that are coming in is like, you should expect maybe that return in 15 years. If everything, ceteris paribus, if everything holds the same 15 years, maybe then you can get your 50 mil back, right? That's mm-hmm. where we're at. You just, there's no physical stadiums. You have,
We're getting there with the physical stadiums and arenas, right? Slowly but surely.
We are. They're coming together, but this is being mandated. And how much of those physical stadiums are going to be working out when you can already see legitimate physical stadiums that are going up in everywhere and they can't get filled in actual fans for like basketball, for NHL, and those games are infinitely more popular and they have more people spending per like a fan to the dollar per fan.
Yeah, a lot higher.
Each of those top five leagues in physical real sports is infinitely higher than esports.
Yep.
Because if there's one thing esports fans love, it's not paying a goddamn cent for anything.
Ungrateful bastards. Yeah, yeah. That's one of my biggest gripes.
It's like, you're not paying for merch. Mm-hmm. No one pays that much for merch.
Yeah.
Really, no one pays that much for merch.
You get sent free shit from Jinju, so.
Fuck it.
You're part of the problem, right? That's what we're saying, yeah?
Sorry,
I put you off.
But what's the actual demographic? Look at the actual demographic. They're younger people.
Yeah.
A lot of them are younger people. They don't have incomes. They're students. They're saving for other things that they need in real life. All they have to do is just turn on Twitch and they can see someone. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no barrier for them. There's no barrier. For NBA, you better hope that you're in your local market. You better hope your game's not blacked out. Otherwise, you then, if you're actually really invested, you're going online. You're trying to find the illegal stream. You're trying to go on there. For football, for NFL right now, I get only one game. Right now, I can only get one game. There are 7 games that a network can broadcast, and for my area, they have chosen this one game.
Right.
I can't see the others. I'd have to go online, and I have to go do a lot more investment. Mm. It's like, that's the part here that I don't think esports has really been able to figure out how to convert. When they can convert it, then I'll be optimistic. Then I'll be so fucking excited.
Yeah.
When you can actually get esports fans to start paying for shit, then we've solved the problem. We've solved the problem. Seriously, when you can figure out how to get paying customers, you have solved it. That's it. So that's why I believe that we're involved, because no one's figured out how to get fans to pay for shit.
Well, the thing is as well, right, we're almost universally running on incorrect numbers because we don't we haven't standardized anything for viewership. Like, the valuations are off, like everyone's operating on different things, like, oh, esports is bigger than the Super Bowl, and like, but we're not using the same metrics. Like, we need to come up with a set of standards that everyone abides by, and then we can, how can we measure the growth of esports against anything else, even one title against the other, when everyone's just using their own fucking like peak viewers on, and some have got peak concurrent, and then you know what I mean, it's all over the place. Everyone's trying to present themselves as being more successful than the others by using these different obscure numbers, and it's so hard to actually figure out where the fuck we are in comparison to everything else, because we're not playing by the same rules. Instead, we're trying to make it look like everything's fine by using these absolute shit standards and these shit metrics, and it's from the top down. It's from the top down, and it's worrying, and that's why the investors come in, because they think, I don't know, hopefully they're not this naive, but I imagine somehow they think, okay, yeah, well, if it's as big as a Super Bowl or bigger than a Super Bowl, I need to be part of this. And it's just absolute bollocks. Like, I know full well, one North American organization is actively looking to sell just to the highest bidder next year. It's been bringing in celebrity investors and faces this year, and they're making partnerships and stuff, and then next year, I've been told by quite a few people now, they're looking to just ditch it, and they put out a post even today saying, oh, we're not going anywhere just yet, and it's just like, no, like, you're looking to just fucking get the money as soon as you can and fuck off. Like, you're just bringing in, oh, I nearly said it then, some famous rapper, and you know what I mean? It's just absolute bollocks. Yeah.
Now I can really, really not know who you're talking about after that one.
No, it's just bollocks. And I mean, it irks me. And I think sooner rather than later, the people at the top need to come together and agree on, say, viewership stuff and everything else, like viewership figures, everything else, and say, right, this is how we're going to do it moving forward. And then hopefully it's adopted from the top all the way down to the bottom, right? And then at that point, we can actually fucking work out where we are. And then we can say, oh yeah, we're not doing too bad, or we've actually not grown in the past year, or Overwatch League is actually not a success, because it's not, but I mean, it'd be better to actually be able to prove that. And, like, it's just a lack of transparency, shit communication, like, because everyone wants to seem like they're afloat, when in reality, it's all a bit fucked.
Yeah.
So, anyway, esports is great! I've got a lot of hope, man. It's just teething issues.
We can do better.
Yeah.
And I think it's unhelpful when we have expectations so high and we're not a little bit cautious. Everything could do a little bit more, needing to be cautious, needing to really figure out what's going on. And not being so overexcited that it clouds your actual realistic vision of what can be a better entity. So,
without a doubt. And with that, we're almost at the hour mark, actually. We're almost there. So I will say thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It'll be a little while before this goes up, because I'm stocked up and stuff for all that good stuff. So it might be like a special Christmas episode.
Very famous, Mr. Adam Fitch on the Adam Fitch podcast.
Ooh, I'm going to use that as a soundbite going forward. But so where can people find you if they wish to do so for some weird reason?
You can follow me at Ryan at RBM on Twitter. Go listen to the podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes and Spotify and wherever you get your podcast with Rush B Media is what it is, because now we are a podcast network, two concurrent podcasts, the Crouch Peak podcast and the Rush B podcast, which is my own, and then rushbymedia.com. Go read all the leaks, go read all the articles, go read all fun. I'm actually very excited. I'm going through applications, going through writer applications, editor applications, social media manager applications, doing a whole big revamp, restock for 2020. So I'm excited for that.
Okay.
That'll be good. 2020 is going to be a good year.
Lovely stuff. And again, thank you very much for coming on. If anybody wants to find me, then my name is everywhere on the screen, so you can find it pretty well. Like Byron Fitch everywhere. If you want more podcasts, want to listen to more of these, then go back, listen and watch the old ones, and subscribe to my YouTube channel, because please, I like numbers, and I can tell people I'm doing well because of numbers. Thank you very much. Right, thank you for listening, and catch you on the next one.